This is a production of Cornell University.
EA meeting, October 7th, 2009.
Hi, Gemma.
Call this meeting to order. This is the employee assembly meeting on Wednesday, October 7th, 2009, 2:15 p.m. in 316 Day Hall. Jason Seymour, chair. I'm going to do a roll call of members. David Brooks.
Here.
Pemba Dungtow.
Here.
Tanya Grove.
Here.
Linda Krollhall.
Here.
Leon Lawrence.
Here.
Alan Mittman. Gemma Osborne. Seeley Phillips contacted me and said that she would be a little late to the meeting. Jason Seymour, present. Gary Stewart.
He
stepped out. We know he's here. And we have three vacant seats that we will be filling later in this meeting. Are there any late additions to the agenda? We're going to start with our business of the day, a presentation on the United Way campaign. Deputy Provost David Harris is to be here at 1 to speak with us, but the United Way campaign committee is here now, and we're going to turn the floor over to them to give us an introduction of that campaign.
Thank you very much for having us here today. We really appreciate it. Sorry for the mix-up. Probably my fault. So, David, when he comes, he'll probably give you a better talk than I will, but these guys are going very nicely for David. My name is Tom Levigny. I work in the real estate department at Cornell, and I am the co-chair with Andy Sciarrava this year for this year's campaign. And we're here today because you people are the leaders of our employees here on campus, and we're here to hopefully enlist your help and try to help inform and boost the campaign on campus as much as we can this year. Because of the economic conditions, you can surmise that some of the corporate entities that are associated with the United Way this year are cutting back on their corporate gifts, and that's where our large gifts come from. That's where a bulk of our campaign comes from. And what we're trying to do here today is increase the base, because the only way to make up for those corporate gifts that are going to be lacking this year is try to get individual giving up. And I don't know if you know the statistics, but Cornell is almost half of the entire United Way campaign, but only 14% of our employees on campus give.
17?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. You got to get that number right. 17%. It used to be 19. Yes.
What do you mean by half? For New York State? Or
no, no. For the Tompkins County campaign. Last year, we were at 2,065,000, and Cornell was over 800,000. So we're great givers, those of us that give. But if we can just get more to give, we can be even better givers coming out of here. So what we're trying to do this year during this campaign is increase the base. And why the United Way? I've been involved with the United Way since 1996. It's the easiest way to reach the most people. We've got 36 agencies. We've got 7 affiliates. We have an urgent RX program where people without health insurance can get prescriptions. We've got food and hunger security programs. So we're out there. And everybody in this room either knows somebody or yourself or your kids or somebody very close to you has been touched by United Way agencies, whether you know it or not. You know, so everybody here has some affiliation with the United Way in one way or another. So we're really hoping that we can increase the base. You are the leaders out there. We're hoping that when you have influence, when the campaign starts in your area, that you can help people see their way to doing this. And those who have given before, if they can increase. Those who haven't given, if they can consider giving, we really appreciate it. And that's what I'd like to say. And I also, again, like to say thank you for what you've done and for allowing us to be here. And now I'll turn it over to Richie and some of you.
Okay.
Let me introduce you. I'm sure everybody knows Richie. Richie is the former Cornell lacrosse coach at Cornell. He's a Hall of Fame. He's got several national championships under his belt. He's been here since 1968.
Right.
He's a real Cornellian, and he's got a lot of influence in the community, and that's why we'd like to have Richie say a couple of words.
Thank you very much, Tom. Statistics, never one of my favorites, but it's obvious 17% is fantastic. We need some more help. My involvement started back in the 70s when it was probably still known as a community chest. I was involved in a community chest when I lived on Long Island. My first giving was to Boys Town. I went to a grammar school that was very enthused about charitable organizations, and we adopted Boys Town. And I always remember the picture of a young man carrying his brother. And the priest said to him, "Who is that?" He said, "Well, that's my brother, and he's not that heavy." Well, that to me sort of made me think an awful lot about charitable groups. This is a heavy task that we have ahead of us. The agencies that receive the money from United Way and from this community really benefit tremendously. Having been involved with charities, my wife told me when I retired, I'll probably do the carpeting and do some plumbing and rebuild the patio. I got involved with about 8 charities in the community. David Smith, who is a real good friend, will speak to you most likely later. I was on that board for about 5 years and really enjoyed it tremendously. My ambition is to give back. When I came here in 1968, everybody thought I was a little bit off the wall because I was leaving a very scenic location on Long Island to come up to Winter Wonderland, which is 9 months of the year. But weather to me is not an important factor. In fact, I told my friends back home at that time that if I had based my whole career on weather, I'd be leading a boring life. And I don't think I've led a boring life here in Ithaca, New York. I love this community. I've resided here since 68 and continue to be here forever. I want to not let a lot of people get visas to move to Ithaca. We want to keep the population right the way it is. But it's a magnificent journey that we're on this year with United Way. I've seen the benefits. Many people in this room have seen the benefits. Many people have been touched by the opportunities of raising the funds that we've raised. Our goal this year is a very, very substantial goal, a great goal. And James, I'm sure, will tell you a little bit about the goal. But basically what I'd like you to do is let you know that I'll be happy to speak to any of your groups at any time. I was fortunate to be ahead of the employees group back in the 70s in the United Way, and the response was magnificent. We ran a couple of functions, one in the Hall of Fame room, and I had, I think, about 6 bushel loads of apples. And I passed an apple out to everybody, and they were a little astonished about why this apple thing was coming about. And I said, "Now we're going to take a bite for United Way." And we did. And the response was tremendous. Now, I don't have apples with me today, but it's very obvious that you will definitely take a great bite on the behalf of the United Way and help us in every possible way you can. And thank you. It's great.
So now what we'd like to do is turn it over to David and ask David to just tell you a little bit about how the United Way helps his agency, just to give you a little flavor of what it is that we are able to do for our 36 agencies and 7 affiliates. So,
okay, thanks, Tom. First, let me tell you a little bit about our agency so you'll have a grounding in why United Way money is important to us. Our agency is what used to be called Literacy Volunteers, and we're now changed the name like some of the organizations do. It's hard to keep caught up. But we're now Tompkins Learning Partners Incorporated. And we pretty much do the same thing. And the things that we do can be broken into about 3 categories. We work with adults who grew up here in the United States, but for some reason or the other, they never really learned how to read or write, or to learn how to read or write to a level that they can really function well in society. A lot of folks come to us, especially after they've lost a job, and they know that they need more skills in order to get a new job. And it's very interesting to see people in our office who are 50 years old and they're learning how to read for the first time. So it's very rewarding, but it's frustrating too. The other thing we have is a program called our ESL program. And of course, that's folks from other countries. And I was just counting our annual reports. There were 44 countries represented in our office last year in our agency, other than the United States, who were participants as students. And some of those folks learned how to read or write in their own language, and some of them never really had learned how to read or write in any language. So folks. We're working with those folks too. And that's also a very exciting program. And some of those folks also come to us when they want to become citizens. We're the only organization in town that helps people study to pass the citizenship test. And we're always thrilled when that happens too. So a smaller program that we do, because we generally don't serve youth, is that we have volunteers who are tutors. So we have about 100 volunteers who serve as tutors each year. But they're willing to be frisked and go out to Lansing Residential Center, the McCormick Secure Center. And at Lansing Residential Center, they work with the young women who are there. And then similarly, but actually a little bit more secure because these gentlemen have committed felonies, we work at the McCormick Secure Center with the students out there. So that's the only case where we really work with young people, specialized programs. And overall, the agency works with about 100 volunteers and a similar number of students each year. So United Way is very important to us. One of the things that people understand about us is that we're a literacy organization. So they're more than willing to give us money for books. Well, I could have all the books in the world, that, and frankly, you know, that's good. We do need books for our students and our tutors. But a lot of our funds are tied up for very specific purposes. And at times that's frustrating because you need to have money that's for you to be able to do what really needs to happen in an agency, whether that means paying the rent. Nobody ever seems to want to do that. And yet somehow we have to have a place to have our organization meet. So one of the things that I often think about is the United Way money is very flexible for us. And if nothing else, we can pay the rent. And if we couldn't pay the rent, we wouldn't be able to be there. Because although we all are primarily a volunteer organization, we have to have a space to train our tutors, to have our students come to work out of. And the other thing that I think is really good about United Way, and some of you may be familiar with this, and if you're not, I hope you work with United Way and become more familiar, is that there's a group of volunteers who review our funding application every year. They come, they meet with us, and maybe on a two-year cycle, but they check in with us, but they're not meeting that year. They come in, they talk to us, they ask us questions, they say, what about this budget number? And even more importantly, they ask us about our programs, and are they effective, and what kind of results are you getting? You know, it's not enough just to say, here's your money. It's not, we really have to say, like you folks do, I'm sure, here's where you're in your positions. You know, what's the impact you're making? What outcomes you're achieving? And bless their hearts, the Education Department of New York State helps us with that. They have certain standards that they want us to reach. And sometimes they seem a little much for the kind of people that we serve. But we keep very accurate records as to how our students increase in ability, whether it be an ESL student or an ABE student, and how many grade levels have they gone up, that sort of thing. So, you know, we're able to say to United Way, United Way, your money does help us, and here's what we're achieving. Here's how many more people are able to improve the grade level. Here's how many more people are able to speak better and be understood. Do you have any questions about the agency? Then just let me put in one pitch for our agency, which is simply, we need more volunteers. We have a waiting list of over 40 people. And it's the largest list we've ever had. And we need to be able to help these folks who want to speak English or learn how to read and write. So if you have any free time, as I'm sure you all do, keep us in mind. You can find us at tlpartners.org on the web. And if we're not doing the training, believe me, we'll keep your name the next time the training comes up. We'd love to have you trained to be a volunteer. We have people who are volunteers from all walks of life. Former Cornell professors, our board president is currently Tom Weiler, a retired Cornell professor. And again, folks from all walks of life. People who taught, never taught before, doesn't matter. We'll work with you, support you, and help you become a volunteer too with us. Sorry, couldn't resist that, had to do that. We have too many people who need our help. I also have some brochures I'd love to pass out.
Can I ask how much time commitment you ask from volunteers?
What we ask is not as much as we would like, but we're realistic. As far as once you're trained, and trained we do in modules, so that's flexible. But we really would like 2 hours a week to work with the students and a one-year commitment once you've been trained.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
James, you want to talk a little bit about the goal?
I will be very brief because I know you have a full agenda. But I do want to talk a little bit about the goal and about the generosity here at Cornell and thank you and talk about the generosity in the community. As you would imagine, giving for our across the country was impacted as the economy is going down. Last year, giving to nonprofit health and human services decreased significantly. It decreased significantly for United Ways across the country. We were unique in that our giving went up about a little, almost 3.5%, and that's because of the generosity of people in this community. It's the second year that we were able to raise over $2 million, and this year we looked very hard and thought about pulling back and saying, let's do what's realistic, but Richie, Tom, Andy, and our volunteer leadership said that that was not the way to proceed, that there are needs, and we know that needs are increasing, so we need to increase the goal. So in the face of these obstacles, we've increased the goal $2,075,000 this year. That's a big reach for us. We know that, as Tom mentioned, that some of our donors are no longer able to give, but we also know that there are significant increases in terms of need. We know that from the first quarter to the second quarter this year, the Urgent Rx program that Tom talked about, their requests for prescriptions went up 49%. We know that all the food pantries are running significant increases. Met with the people in Brooktondale yesterday. They had their pantry on Monday. They saw over 700 people in the last month. They signed up 10 new families this Monday night, and they see no end in terms of the need and the demand. So we realize it's a tough time. We know that people are hurting. We know that there are positive signs that the economy may be turning, but for people who are in need, those signs aren't significant enough, and they need some assistance to help to bridge this gap, and hopefully it's short term. That's what we're facing this year. It's very clear to everyone around this table. I think everyone sees it every day, and you know the significance of the issues. The only thing I would add is about our Corporate Cornerstone program, and that's something that I'm really pleased that Cornell became a member 2 years ago and made a 3-year commitment, and in doing so, encouraged that the college joined as well. And Corporate Cornerstone partners are corporate entities that provide the administrative funding for United Way. As a result of their funding, 100% of all gifts then go to programs and services, or if they're directed to a member agency like Dave's, 100% will go to that agency. So they pay for the administrative costs, and it was some leadership from volunteers at Cornell who suggested this program. And so we've had it up in place for 3 years. The last 2 years, our full administrative costs have been covered. So that adds value to every dollar that's given, that it's going to make an impact on somebody's life. It's not going to go to administrative costs. So, I want to be brief and respect your time. It's just a quick overview. David mentioned the look at needs in terms of trying to determine that dollars are spent as effectively as possible, and we do. And so I just have just one little handout for you, just looking at three areas in terms of looking at helping to build a strong community and showing some of the outcomes from services that have been funded and how we're looking to collect that data and see that a difference is actually made. So thank you again. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. You can email me, call me. I will respond at any point in time. But thanks for your time. You've been flexible today.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Do we have any other questions or?
Yeah. What's the easiest way for people to sign up to donate?
The easiest, most simple way is to just do payroll deduction.
Did you contact your payroll office?
No. There will be David Harris is in charge of the Cornell campaign, and these should make it to all of your offices, and everybody will have an opportunity to fill out a pledge card. David knows the logistics on that. He'll be here at 1 o'clock, and he can tell you about that one. But it's really very easy. A few dollars a paycheck, 50 cents a paycheck. Nothing is too small, and it adds up over time. If we could get that percentage up from 17 to 30, I mean, wow. It would be amazing. Just amazing.
How about 20?
How about 50?
also sent a wonderful letter out in September to all employees and colleagues, and it's really beautifully done, and it says an awful lot about what we're attempting to do and what Cornell University is attempting to do, and we thank you very much for that.
Do you know if there's an online method? I'm just saying
yes.
Cornell has a really good, if you went to our homepage and went United Way, you would go to the Cornell United Way site, and there's everything in there about giving electronically, whatever you need to do.
Right. I'm going to pass along information.
Yes, all the information.
Report from the employee elected trustee.
Oh, I can be very fast. I have one item to report, and that is last year I talked with Gail Finan from Dining about leaving the $5 lunch for employees as is, and she did for a year, but it's going up. And she called me this week to let me know that the $5 lunch after 8 years is increasing to $6, and I told her I understood. It's one of the best deals on campus.
Yeah. Where?
You use your Cornell ID card and you go to Meal Choice. A variety of different all you care to eat places.
Oh, okay.
All you can eat, $6.
All employees are actually given a Meal Choice account, and it's a debit account, and then if you choose to go to the dining site and add money to it, you can only get the $6 lunch. It's Monday through Friday at the All You Care to Eat location, but you do have to use.
What's the regular price?
About $10.
Okay.
Yeah.
$10.
So I've used it. It's wonderful, and I eat a lot. So you're losing money on me. But don't you have to, if you've never used your Meal Choice before, don't you have to at least activate it or call, do something one time?
You need to put money on it.
You go online.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This change is taking place next fiscal year, so July 1st, 2010. That's
okay. Great.
Is this at the dining halls, or is it at different select vendors?
Dining halls. It's open to the house.
So I'd like to mention, I think this is what you're saying, is that if you use your card, you get an employee discount on all prices anywhere that accepts Meal Choice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
that's Statler.
No.
You don't get the discount at the Statler because it's not a dining operation.
Well. Yeah. Okay, well, I shop at the Mattins Cafe in Duffield Hall. I get the discount. That's why I don't pay cash. I use my card. Well, it's because you get the discount when you use your card.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Report from the chair. I don't have anything prepared, organized. We've just been running all over the place with so many guest speakers to our meetings and coordinating the president's address and trying to get our seats filled and hopefully after this meeting we'll have tied up a lot of the odds and ends, and have to figure out what we're going to do at our next meeting. So that's the small little report I can give. We've got two sets of minutes to approve, so I'm just going to give you a minute to overview the September 2nd, 2009 minutes, and I'll entertain a motion.
September 2nd meeting to be approved.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that our September 2nd, 2009 meeting minutes be approved. Is there any discussion or objection? All those in favor of approving, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstained?
Everybody?
Yeah. Minutes approved. All right, let's move on to the Wednesday, September 16th, 2009 minutes. Just a minute here to just look it over, and then I'll entertain another motion.
That the September 16th minutes be approved.
Second.
our same two first and second. Any discussion? All those in favor of approving the September 16th minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Abstained? Minutes approved. Moving on to committee reports, executive committee.
Was it our last executive committee meeting? I wasn't here Thursday. Last Thursday.
The last one was the same one.
Yeah, that was okay. The last one that I asked. We had another meeting with Thane, David Harris, Mary Ottman. I thought it went very well. It's just an overview again of what Bain is doing, when the reports are due, which I believe they're going to be turned in by the end of this month. And by the end of December, we'll have a report pretty much from the President, Provost, as to how they're going to proceed with their suggestions and in which they'd like to see them if possible. I thought it was an excellent meeting. Nothing really new, I don't think, to anyone. I thought it was a good meeting. So we finally caught up with Bain.
Anything else from the executive team? Okay. Moving on to Staff Recognition and Awards Committee.
We have, as President's address on Monday, we will be giving an award out to Staff at Connect. This is the Employee Assembly Appreciation Award, and specifically it's given to one staff member this year. The executive committee discussed giving it to a group of people, and we thought who more deserving than the staff at Gannett. Gary and I actually met with Janet Corson-Rivert and Sharon Dittman from Gannett last Monday, and they were absolutely thrilled. They sent an email to the staff at Gannett, and they said it's been a huge buzz over there, and they're really very, very appreciative and honored and brought tears. Happy
here
to a lot of people. So.
Awesome. Cool. So it's not going to be a surprise, but to any media in the room or anything, we're keeping it kind of low-key until the President's address where it's going to be completely announced.
And then we'll get a plaque. Hopefully we will get a good group of them over there to kind of get up on stage so that we can applaud them.
Great.
Some people might not know who Janet Corson-Rivert is.
Sharon Dittman is the Director of Gannett Health Services, and Janet is...
Janet.
Oh, what
Communication committee?
Nothing to report at this time.
Finance? That's nothing to report. Emergency grant care fund?
Nothing to report.
Personnel policy?
Nothing to report.
Do you care which one we do first? And then, okay, so let's go ahead, and I've been waiting for this day for a long time. We're going to go ahead with the election. We have one of our candidates has dropped out, and so that leaves three candidates remaining for our three seats. Because neither of our candidates, if I check correctly, all of our seats are contract non-exempt, and all of you are exempt endowed, correct? Okay, so we don't have to really, we have nothing to really match up. So unless there's an objection, we could elect these three by acclamation to these three remaining seats. Please consider this carefully, because otherwise we will go to a ballot where we'll just ask you to vote for up to three people for our three seats. And assuming all three would receive a majority, the majority people would be seated.
What's your term?
I'm sorry. So there is the question was about terms. There is a 2-year seat and a 1-year seat. I've talked to the three candidates, and there was interest specifically in the 1-year seat, and Leslie has agreed to fill the 2-year seat. So that was just based on their personal preferences to get started. I felt that was, if it was fair amongst them, then.
In the minutes of the 2nd of September, there was actually 5 candidates listed. Kathleen Shields, Ned, Tim, Leslie, and then he said there was one other candidate that couldn't make it. So
oh, I'm sorry.
I had 5. So it's usually not 5, it's 4.
No, it was 5. Kathleen dropped out. And Keith Collins, who is the 6th person, never responded to any further contact that I made with him. He's been invited, and he was invited to join us here today as well.
So is there any objection or discussion about voting by acclamation? Good. Question?
Yeah. I recommend we vote by acclamation.
I just want to make sure we're all square with the charter and we're not missing anything that's real obvious regarding the process.
I think if one of these people were either contract and or non-exempt, one of them would have more preferential placement in the seats. But since now we're left with three people that equally do not qualify for our three seats, as the order of precedence in that our charter states for seating them, we've gone through the whole chain, and now we're at the end that any remaining employee can fill the seats.
Okay.
And their terms would start as of the spring?
Yeah, they'd start immediately, actually, unless they start immediately, unless the charter specifies otherwise.
Kind of retroactive.
Right. The 2-year seat already has, 2 months, 3 months off of it.
Right.
Because the term doesn't shift
right.
If there's nobody in the seat. They always stay staggered.
Okay.
All those in favor of electing, or I should say appointing Leslie, Tim, and Ned to our three remaining seats, and for
put the last names in the record.
I'm sorry.
Leslie Morris.
Leslie Morris.
Tim O'Trander. And Ned LaSalle.
Okay.
Do you know the spelling of his last name? I spelled it wrong, so I'll fix the minutes. I put an S in there.
All those in favor of voting by all three to by acclamation to these remaining seats, signify by stating aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstain? Motion carries, or the appointment carries. Welcome to the EA.
And you were just elected chair. So
it's going to be good. Yeah, it could be appointed immediately, so feel free to pull up to these three remaining seats up there if you'd like. So, welcome.
Yes.
So, welcome. So, a couple things to just housekeeping. I will probably meet with the three of you and maybe do my welcome to the EA spiel that I did to the newer members. There's some procedural things that will happen through the Office of Assemblies office, getting you added onto email lists and all that kind of stuff. That may actually happen before you go through my orientation. So you may start getting EA business emailed to you. So today. And we probably are going to want to coordinate a paw print article on the three of you and where we announce to the world that you are now seated on the EA, and this is for the first time in I don't know how long of a history that the EA is fully seated. Peggy?
I have no idea. Good morning, 2 years.
At least 2 years?
2 years.
Okay. So thank you very much. We welcome your input, even if it is greatly weighted towards the theater school.
And the
handy.
Can I just announce how excited I am by doing an interpretive dance?
Got a lot of room down there.
Add color.
All right, so we'll move on. You guys are welcome to participate now for the rest of the meeting as EA members. I'll turn it over to Tanya to address the president's address to staff.
So Amy and Beth and I have been meeting and going over, and everything is in pretty good shape. The things that we will need are volunteers for a couple of things. I need people to help me wash 350 apples because they need to be washed. So if anybody has a major urge to come down to the theater and clean off some apples, I can invite 30 members
to that. Conveniently located.
I'm picking the apples up on Friday, and so they will be down at the theater. I would like to have everything in place and ready to go by 11:30. So if anybody wants to come over around, say, 10, ish, and we can wash some apples, and then we'll have a couple tables to set up and sandwiches to put out. So a lot of kind of set up stuff. If anyone interested and available, please either let me know now or email me, and if not, I will be contacting you all to ask for a command presence.
Mm-hmm. Can we go to the fire department and just hose them down?
We could, but then we can chase them down the street. See, we really wanted to, our initial idea was to bob for apples at the event, and then we wanted to wash, but that wasn't the end of the event. So we're just going to clean them. There'll be sandwiches. We'll need someone to hand out programs. We'll need someone to hand out meal tickets because people are picking up meals at the end, but we're giving them to the first 350 people, so those people will get tickets to redeem for their lunch. Hopefully we'll have 350 people. If not, we will be bringing the remainder of the sandwiches over to Gannett.
What did it? The number used to be 400, and it got changed.
The number used to be 400. We put it down to 350.
Okay.
Just budget-wise, and because we wanted to make sure that we didn't have way too much overkill. And since only 75 people came to the president's last address, we may have overkill with 350. So
I think it's Columbus Day. I'm wondering about that. So a lot of people think that they are.
So we may have a lot of extra sandwiches.
In terms of the EA's participation, I'm assuming that we're all going to be there since this is our event. And should we dress a certain way or plan to sit in a certain spot?
I can cordon off seats right in the front. I'm also going to be cordoning off seats for the Gannett folks. I don't know, do we want people to sit on the stage, and if so, who? That's the biggest question.
Last year, it was Brian, Mary, and me. Of course.
There's only a few.
Yeah.
If that's neither here nor there, it's whatever.
Do you want more company up there?
I'll be happy sitting next to the group.
I think the cleaner the stage, the better.
I do, too.
You know? And you want Mary to be up there.
They need to just feel more comfortable.
The other thing, we will have stairs there, so realistically no one has to sit on the stage at all. We can just invite people. There's stairs right there to go up, and then I'll just cordon off the front row for EA membership to kind of sit down there. And then I don't know when you do your intro. If you're going to acknowledge EA people or something, then we'll all...
There will be something to acknowledge me, yeah.
There we go.
So,
in the past, I think in the past they've done a variety of things, but usually, you know, it's like business casual or, you know, such and such. Do you all have your name tags? Do you get name tags?
I have them.
If anything, you might want to wear something that identifies you with employee assembly. I don't know whether we could get some quickly for them too. That quickly, I don't know.
Probably not.
But
I'll get them, but I
have
to make some for you.
And then afterwards, are we expected to stay and chat or give out sandwiches or?
It would be great if people could help give out sandwiches, and just, I think it's important for us to be there to answer questions that people may have for the EA and ways that we can be supportive of the rest of the staff. So
people will clear up pretty quickly.
Yeah. Aren't a bunch of us going to take the remaining food over to
Gannett?
Okay.
Honey, what time do you want us all there?
Gary said 6 a.m., but for you, Gemma, people can start arriving around. If you want to do Apple Watching, if we can start that at 10, but if the core of people can be there by 11, just so that we have a presence, I imagine people will start arriving around 11:30, 2012.
And the information we're putting out, is it really clear where the Schwartz Center is?
It says in College Town. It tells you the buses that you take to get there. Sort of giving them a map or telling them that we're that big building across from CCD, I don't know.
I saw it on the homepage.
How does the seating work? Is the 350 desk? You were expecting like 350 desks for the president's address, or are the seats already reserved?
No, the seats aren't already reserved. We have 450 seats in the theater, and it'll be first come, first served seating. We're just going to give out little tickets to people so that we know, you know, if you got there earlier, you know, you get a sandwich kind of thing.
And it'll be good because we'll have an accurate count
of how many
people, because in previous years it was just kind of an eyeball picture type thing.
We'll be recording it, and it'll be on the it'll be up on Cornell app after it won't stream live.
Where did the apples come from?
The Cornell Orchard.
And the publicity for it, you found that? I didn't receive a message in my email about it. It was like push out or...
It's going out in the paw print tomorrow, Peggy? Yeah?
Yes.
Yep. And then it's going to go out on paw print flash.
Hawker and Flash will probably go out Thursday or Friday, and then we'll do one first thing Monday morning again as a reminder.
And it will
forget over the weekend.
Yeah. So we haven't heard anything from Gannett yet, but they were going to try to give us some ballpark number. And then we want to take care of them when they get there, mm-hmm. if they're going to meet a specific place or whatever.
Right.
Just give a lot of TLC in front of them.
And Beth is sending it out on her wellness listserv. And we're trying to figure out, and Linda, you may be able to tell us if the WGI website email list can send something out.
Yeah, Yeah, we don't have specifically a WBI. We have other listservs, though. So,
but if there are listservs that it would be appropriate to go to, if I can send that to you, then the
work-life listserv.
That's the one.
Nancy Doolittle. She needs to send that out because that goes, that's probably the widest one, unless you can get Mary to do a blast to every employee.
And I'm going
to
write to Mary after.
So, Scorton's doing this staff address on Monday, mm-hmm. and each year you play some of the appreciation award, and this year we're giving it to the staff at the net.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
We're hoping to herd a bunch of folks down to get some acknowledgement and just strategizing on how to get folks there to really show Gwinnett how much we appreciate their effort.
And
Schwartz,
the president, the executive committee sent the president suggestions on what to talk about, and it sounded to me like it was a lot about caring community, less about Bain and what the forums were about. And so, and an opportunity for us to ask questions.
Thank you for your help. And I heard you frame some of those questions.
She did it all.
No, I didn't. I wrote down whatever Tanya said.
You know, I think it would be good if we thought about questions so that there's no deadly silence. So when David gets done, he says, who's got questions? There's not that space. So if we can all think of a question that we can ask if no one else jumps in, I think it would help the process.
So is it mandatory that you all have to be there on that day? Or?
No, I'm sure that people have scheduling issues and things like that. We hope that as many people as possible can be there to represent, but people have lots of things.
Yeah, even with the net, a lot of those folks are just coming in and out.
I'd like to pause for a moment, or do we have any other?
I think we're done. Unless, if anyone has anything else, feel free to email me. And
is it being streamed?
It will be streamed.
Okay.
But it will be available. We're recording it, and then it'll go up on Cornell.
Okay. So we're going to break from our agenda right now to come back to United Way campaign. Deputy Provost David Harris has joined us. And would like to speak to us about the United Way campaign at Cornell.
Thank you. And I'm sorry about the scheduling mess up. I'll find out as soon as I get back upstairs what happened, but I'm sorry that it was not. I had a little script too, but I wasn't aware. Something seems to happen. So I'm back for a very different reason, but as you'll be clear later, a reason that's related to what I was talking about before, unfortunately. So I agreed to be chair of the Cornell United Way campaign, and this was way before we had any financial problems, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. So I want to just talk to you about three things, three questions. One, why? Two, why now? And three, why through Cornell? So those are the three questions that I think are important to get a little perspective on. You've already heard from James and Andy and Tom, and you heard from one of the member agencies. So you've heard about some of this already. And then you also, what I want to talk to you about sort of from the Cornell perspective of the campaign, so why? What I'm sure you've heard already is why Give the United Way. Part of why Give the United Way is because you can give to the United Way, and 100% of your gift goes to member agencies. One of the nice things also is that you have the opportunity to just leave your gift undesignated, in which case your gift goes to agencies as a function of need. And that need not just determined by James, but determined by a board, which gets lots of data information to help make a good decision about where those dollars are most needed in our community. But if you decide that you want to specify, you can do that too. So you can say, I want it to go to this particular agency. So I think it's really nice that there's a mix. So the why gives you United Way is because your dollars can do good things. You can either leave it to others to figure out where the best places are, or you can designate. And there's a whole bunch of member agencies. You probably know what some of those are, but it's places like Drop-In Children's Center, the Francisco Racker Centers, Salvation Army, Suicide Prevention and Crisis Center, American Red Cross, on and on. A lot of good folks who do lots of good work in our community. So that's the why. Why now? The why now is about the present and the future. Well, the present is that the need is higher. And again, sorry, some of this is repetitive, but it shouldn't be that surprising that given what's gone on, happened nationally, and what's happened locally with our 7% reduction in Cornell staff, over the last year. Plus, other things happen to other players, Emerson, BorgWarner, and others around our community, but the need is high. And what's most striking is a conversation I had with one of the people who works at the United Way office. And she was reporting that food pantries were running out of food. And what was striking was the food pantries themselves are reporting they had people at food pantries who'd never been at food pantries. And some of you will know me, won't be surprised, but my response was, how do you know? Not that's horrible. And the answer was that because they're seeing people come in and those people don't know what to do. And that's how they know. Because, you know, as I say, there's a culture, right? And you know, if you walk into a room, and it's a kind of, if you go to church or if you go to whatever it is, you know, you walk in, you know what to do, culture and environment. But if you're in a foreign land, a foreign place, and this appeals to the sociologist in me, right? You have no idea what to do. You're lost. And that's what they're seeing. People walk in and they don't know what to do, and so they're having to help them. So that's consistent with there's people there who haven't been there before, so the need is high. That's the present. The other one's the future. That's the link to what I talked to you about before. We know that there's been a reduction in staff. We know that we slowed down hiring. And we know that we're not done. We're going to try and minimize it, as you've heard from President and Provost at the forum last week. But we all know we're not done. And so what that means is that over this coming year, and for at least the near to, you know, over the next couple of years, we know there's going to be more people in need in our community. We know there's going to be fewer people with the means to help those who have need. And we therefore know that the pressure on all of us who can help is going to be even greater than it was in the past. And so I'm encouraging people to give, not just because of now, but because of the future. And if you can, I encourage us all to help. Lastly, why get through Cornell? So three reasons. One, payroll reduction. You can say, I wanted to give X, but you know, I don't really want to commit to X right now. Spread out over a year. That's nice. Second, you can if you don't live in Tompkins County or you want to give your gift outside of Tompkins County, you can. You can specify that it goes to a county other than Tompkins County. And third, and this isn't just, I don't say this is sort of the administrator line that has to happen, but I really believe it, feel it, of course, like everything I say, is I think it's really important that we as a university, as a citizen of this community, make a statement that we're part of what's right in this community and part of trying to make this difficult period as positive as possible. And that gets lost if people are all giving individually to agencies. If we're bundling that through the United Way to the agencies we care about, it's easier for the community to see that this institution, the people who work here, are committed to this community and trying to make it as positive as we can. So that's my pitch. There's three simple things I want to leave you with. Why now, and why in the United Way. And Gary's suggestion is perfect. We're saying about what do I want you to do. So I'd like to do two things. One, you'll guess. The second, you might not. One, I'd like you to make a pledge. You can do it online. You can do it with a card, which you received in the mail already or you will receive soon. That's easy, the obvious. You go to unitedway.cornell.edu. You get a lot more information. So it's unitedway.cornell.edu. You can pledge online. The other thing I'd like you to do is I'd like you to talk to some other people. And I'd like you to ask people, why do you give to United Way? Or why don't you give to United Way? And if you don't want to be that personal, and I usually don't want to be, you might say, what are the reasons why you think people might or might not? And let me know. I'm just Deputy Provost at Cornell.edu. Send me an email because you know, Gary's in the cabinet and here's in the cabinet. But we're constantly trying to figure out how can we get participation rates up, how can we get donations up, and you know, one of the problems is we have you know our data is biased. Everyone who's on the cabinet is involved in some way, and so we're not very good at predicting why other people don't give. So if you talk to other people, hopefully you can spread the message that it's important. It's more important now than ever. And if you find out some things you think would help us do a better job, address some of the concerns people might have, I'd love to hear it. So that's it.
So there's usually a yearly campaign asking people to give, but can you join the United Way at any time throughout the year?
Exactly. Yep.
Okay.
Early and often. You want to join multiple times?
Okay.
So I'm really happy if you want to reconsider in the up direction, not this.
Okay. David, you said people can designate dollars. Are there areas that get more designated dollars and certain areas that need more?
So it seems we're just about at the last academy. So one thing I want to know is what percent of Cornell donors designate, as opposed to say no, whatever the Cornell the United Way formula says is good with, for me. And then of those who designate, you'd like to see where it goes. So I don't have that data. The anecdotal is that most people leave it undesignated.
Okay.
But that factors in, of course, to the formula, right? So if they're looking centrally and saying, wow, everybody's donating to Suicide Prevention Center, looks like they're going to be covered. We better instead take some of these other dollars and designate them other.
I was just interested if there's like an unbalance there. Certain areas need more focus.
Well, I think it's one of the reasons why it's nice that, personally, I leave mine undesignated. Mm-hmm. Some things that's nice is that I don't have the picture to know who got state money, who got other gift money, and who's sort of okay, as opposed to who's really hurting. And so by leaving it undesignated, I let that committee that Rivian and Kel does an excellent job use the information they have to make the most positive impact.
It's interesting, you can also put down what agency makes you don't want to get any money. I don't want blank to get any of my money.
Right.
I mean, it's trying to anticipate as many things as possible. I think United Way is a real image problem at Cornell. I think that it, for what it is, and I think that's what we need, like, really blunt feedback on. Mm-hmm. I talked to colleagues at University of Rochester, Penn State, and, you know, they're about 40%. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're similar campuses. You got a lot of folks there from all over the world and people who grew up around the corner. And I think that the psychological components of this are interesting. When people feel like Cornell is foisting something on them, it's like, get away from me. You're taking enough of my tide already. Don't do this to me. And then the United Way message is lost in the shuffle, or if people feel pressured, I don't know. I mean, so I think that's what David really wanting input on ways we could just nudge this along, and if there's misperceptions or some real legitimate questions that we should answer them.
Right. And in my perspective on it, my hat for the year I'm chair, and hopefully you can see it from what I said to you today, if you're giving because you feel like it's going to help you keep your job, that's the wrong reason. If you're giving because you feel pressure from someone, that's wrong. I mean, I don't want to be the leader of a campaign that does that. I want people to give because they think it's important. So hopefully we can get that message out.
Is Cornell doing less of a
zipper
campaign this year?
We still have these pledge cards that go out and went out already. We talked about that a little bit. I think that's one of the things I'd like to push more in the future is, you know, don't send me a pledge card. So let's think of what can we do online. And there's also some other things that go up by paper. We talked about trying to minimize that.
Yeah, one of the things that I always feel, and I know others do too, is a frustration with getting a lot of paper because there's a lot of cost behind the paper, and that cost could be translated into
Well, the entire administrative budget of the United Way campaign is surprisingly small. So even with that paper, I was surprised when I was, you know, looking at the books effectively and making decisions. It's not necessarily that much money. It's less than $20,000, for example. The Cornell also makes a contribution. It's a cornerstone part. So part of why all your money goes to agencies is because Cornell makes a contribution, independent of employee contributions, to cover administrative costs, plus some other things.
I'm just going to say, David, it's scary why you think it's more successful at some of the other institutions than it is here.
Some of you have been down to State College, Pennsylvania, right? Okay. They call it Happy Valley down there. Could you imagine calling this place Happy Valley?
Yeah, it's really Mountain Valley up there.
I think some of it is
attitude.
A little, yeah. And, but I can't put my thumb on it. I think there's like this kind of like, I think there's a little more cynicism. But I have no data on that data.
And Gary's heard me say this several times, before Joanne Stefano, she was the previous chair, she's the chair, your first job as chair is to find the next chair. So she found me. So I found Paul Streeter, by the way, he follows me. So before I got involved with Joanne, I don't think I'd ever given to the United Way. And I guess, well, why not? Well, I knew it existed. I received the cards. well, you know, I get lost, I'm busy, and the Natalie campaign had never connected with me on a level of why I should give. It had never sort of connected. It was, oh, I should give because it's the Cornell campaign, or I saw it's football on Sundays, the ads, but it didn't really connect. And the example I keep using is the Family Readership Reading Partnership, right? You drive down 79, you see that huge poster on the building by the Commons, you see it at Wegmans and other places, and it connects with you as to why I might help. It actually does something, and I just felt personally that United Way campaign hadn't done that, for me at least. So at least personally, that was my
I think the more you know who it helps,
yeah,
is what gives it up. United Way has sort of an abstract quality to it, but if you know it's working with the Racker Center or the Literacy Volunteers.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And that's part of what we brought in. So I brought, for this year, going around the employee assembly, student assembly, faculty senate, and other groups, many groups as I can, and bringing someone who's the head of one of these agencies each time, so they can try and bring it to life for people.
I think it's easy to forget how many of our staff members are people we work with, and their families are helped by United Way agencies.
Somebody has a question?
I'm just curious, where are we so far in the... for the pledge.
How are we doing?
Yeah,
we just started. It's just started
for this year.
Yeah. Okay. So it's too early to have no. I mean, we try to get 20%. Our 725,000 is our goal. It's a little lower than last year's goal, just recognizing the reality that there's fewer people in the pool this year to give. It'd be great if we blew that away, of course, but we set it. I set it somewhere I thought was reasonable given what's happened. And our participation rate, we shoot for 20%. And we have a hard time getting there. The group that I want to, connect with the most is actually the faculty. I mean, the faculty participation rate is, and dollars are much lower than it ought to be. I mean, given that the faculty are the group that has the greatest job security and highest incomes. And so that ought to be the group that's giving most. And we're not getting done.
Will you pitch the Faculty Senate?
So I'm meeting with, you're first. And then I've got, next week I've got the Faculty Senate, I've got the Student Assembly, the GPSA, University Assembly, and trying to get on other groups. I've been talking to Susan Murphy's operation and talking to some people, and AAB and others.
I do agree that I think it's experiential that really gets to people far. And when I was in the city, I ran the United Way campaign for the corporation I worked for, and I was able to increase it by 45% in 1 year. And what I did is, had a day of caring where we had several agencies and we had employees who went out and actually read to children with AIDS or whatever it was, and right after that we did the campaign and we had a 45% increase. So even if we're not able to replicate it that way, it might be nice if we could even do a quick 2-minute story of going to the different agencies and actually showing how people are benefiting.
So two things on that front. Good points. One is one of the things we're working on several stuff. NewYorkTimes.com has these audio slideshows. If you've seen these, they're quite compelling. There's videos, of course, but there's also these audio slideshows. You'll see them from, I remember, the ones memorable things from the Iraq War, with slides, with a reporter who was embedded talking about what it was like, or with people who are homeless and so forth in the current economic crisis. We talked about trying to do some of those things, so even if you don't leave your desk, you could get online and be touched by some of those things. The other thing I just started talking about volunteer days, sort of like day of caring. The idea is, and it's to coordinate this with United Way downtown, is to get them to identify member agencies who could handle a certain number of volunteers on a certain day. So let's say it was the first Thursday of every month, and we can identify 100 slots, volunteer slots, and then people could sign up. Faculty, staff, students could sign up and say, I'm going to do this. All right, great. You're assigned to the Racker Center. You're going to be there for half a day. Not a whole day, part of a day. And the idea is, A, you get those individuals, but then you also use those people to tell others, oh, here's what I did yesterday. So we want to try and do this.
David, can you just mention how those students are?
Students are great. Yeah, the students have done a fantastic job. So we've had third year. Sir Gary is connecting with the students of IFC guys, leadership and interfraternity council leadership. Have led a student community. Actually, have a student group called the Students for United Way.
Yeah.
I think it's called. It's actually a recognized student group now, and they've done a bunch of things. They've led a can drive. They had an acapella performance at the Sport United Way last year. They had a basically like a duck ball, like a prom, almost I guess it was. That's the Guinness Book of World Records for walks around the track at Barton.
Yeah.
I've done a bunch of things. Been very active, and one of the things we've done this year is to broaden it. So we now have not only the students, there's an ISD leader, the students for NWA on the cabinet, but we also have a member from the Student Assembly and a representative from the Graduate and Professional Student Assembly on the council to make sure we keep broadening this. And one of the things they've done, and I'd love to see this do across the whole campus, is the idea of dollar makes a difference and try to get a bunch of students just to give a dollar. And I'd love to be able to get the entire campus to have 100% participation rate and dollar makes a difference. It would be fantastic. It's just a buck. I mean, you know, everyone pretty much can afford a dollar, you know, at some point. I think it would make a statement that, you know, however many people, that would be 20,000 more than that, all the students. We have this many dollars to check, and also to check with, you know, just from all of us.
And the students are having a homecoming parade in a few days to raise money for United Way. Are you going to be Grand Marshal?
No, they haven't confirmed
that. They're going to
put
in a robe and they're doing a great job.
Is there any other questions for?
If not, Deputy Provost McCrone to you, shoot me an email if you have thoughts about how we can do better. Thanks
great.
For your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's nice to talk to that happy
All right. University Benefits Committee, I believe, is still on hiatus. Peggy, do you have any insight on that?
On the what?
University Benefits Committee?
No.
I should start asking people if it exists anymore.
Well, it should.
Okay. Well, it's been on hiatus from what I've last heard from people. So
maybe we can chat about that offline and see if we can't find out from HR. There may not be anything going on.
Yeah.
Relative to changes in benefits.
Okay. Employee Education Committee?
Yes, I'm getting to it this week. Thank you for asking. I have the list of names from there. I communicated with Amy figuring out how to do a reservation for a room, and I hope if you were on that list. Well, I'll send it out to everybody. Just announced. And it'll be a lunchtime meeting. Okay.
Thank you
for asking.
Leon, ad hoc charter review.
Yes, we have been meeting on a regular basis, weekly basis, and we think that we have membership, a way to do membership that. Thanks to Gary that we are scrutinizing, so soon we should have something to present to the entire assembly.
Is there any old business to discuss? Any new business? It's always the fuzzy area of the agenda. Old, new, open forum. Anybody have anything they want to advertise, endorse?
I just remember this, actually. Last week at some time, Georgetown University contacted me because they want to start their own employee assembly type program.
Ooh.
And she was very nice. I sent her a link to our homepage, and we talked for a while about how we work and how we had talked with like Iowa and North Carolina and how they function, we function. We talked for quite a while. So it's possible we may hear back from them again. I said, we are more than willing to help you in any way we can, you know, get this set up. But I thought it was really cool that
they'll fund a little retreat for us to all come down there.
Right.
And
that would be cool.
Share all we know, right?
Is there like a listserv for employee assembly for university that they share information?
Not that I've ever heard of, but, you know, it would be a great idea.
Or if we've ever created...
We create a lot of pressure.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Like the council, or the, like, kind of like the council of governments, the council
right.
of employee assemblies.
UN.
The UN. That's a great idea. Any other open forum?
I'd like to welcome our new members and hope that you really have a good time with the employee assembly. This group can never have enough good ideas, and we can never have enough folks who say, here's my idea, I'll take ownership of it and move things along. And I just think that when we're sitting here, we always just have to remember we're not here for us, we're here for other folks. And, our voices and participation are really key. So glad you guys stepped up and are on board. It's great.
I'll second that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Welcome. As soon as you're done washing Tanya's apples, I will make sure that we get together sometime sometime soon and go over some of the logistical administrative stuff. Anything else? We can't adjourn early. All right. Any motion to adjourn? Any? Want to entertain such a thing?
One of you guys, come on. There we go.
Okay. Any objections? We are adjourned, 1:26 p.m. Thank you, everybody.
Okay.
Bye.
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 This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.